It's Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall. You're listening to an interesting conversation, well, hopefully interesting conversation, all about Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. That's a book by authors Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis, and they are with me today on WPR. Tom, Christy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having us, Ezra.
Thank you.
I want to explain a little bit about what's going on. Our audiences will recognize having good regional content in this hour, but may not be familiar with exactly how we're doing it today. Kind of a partnership between Route 51, which originates from our Wausau-based stations and airs on our Eau Claire-based stations as well, and Newsmakers, which airs on our La Crosse-based stations. So Tom and Christy are just the perfect guests for this kind of partnership because they've been all over Wisconsin, and they have this new book all about the weird and wonderful and obscure oddities that you can find as you travel our wonderful state. So we decided to join forces today, and you might be listening to this show during Route 51, and you might be listening to the show during Newsmakers, and we welcome you all. So let's get started. Tom and Christy, just for people who are not familiar with your work, tell me how you got interested in visiting all the quirky little places that Wisconsin has to offer.
We've been traveling through Wisconsin for years and years. Christy's originally from Madison. And we've been married for 28 years, and we always take day trips. So when we have extra time, we're always out exploring somewhere, you know. And so the way we love to travel is by back roads and two-lane highways, because you never know what you'll come across, especially in small towns. I mean, small towns have quirky little things that you just don't see everywhere. So that's how we came across most of the things. You know, some of the things we've known about, and we just had to go back and see them again and again. And we discovered a few new things that were pretty exciting, too.
You like digging up little sort of lesser-known gems in Wisconsin's small towns. Why do you think it's so important to focus on our smaller communities along the way?
Because when you look at larger cities, larger towns, you know, they have a bigger budget to advertise and to show what they have to offer. And a lot of times you see the same things over and over, but the small towns really just don't get the love.
And they don't have the chance to highlight what's going on in their small towns.
Or a budget. So we love that because we love quirky, and when we come across things, we get so excited, you know, that we found something new that we haven't seen before.
Christy, do you make a big, when you're setting out, I mean, obviously you might kind of know where you're going to go. Do you have an agenda when you set out?
We really don't. We just get in the car and go. No matter where we are, if we're in Wisconsin, you know, anywhere in the United States or even overseas. We just go, because you never know where you're going to end up or what you're going to find.
What do you think the advantages to that approach are?
You never know what you're going to find.
And I think, too, so many times when you plan, you know, you see things and you plan and you get there and you go, oh, you know, and you know, that wasn't so great. It wasn't what I thought it was. And, you know, a lot of the big tourist attractions, you know, everybody takes the photos from like one spot. And then you get, because it might be the only spot available. So what we found is often those most popular things we get, you know, a disappointment from. But it's those little things that we find that we haven't heard about that for our family makes the memories. And those are the things that we talk about forever.
One of the things that I love to do when I'm traveling is to find the food that's maybe off the beaten path, the non-chains, the dusty looking place that's just been in town for 80 years or whatever. How important is food as part of your journeys?
Oh, it's definitely important because, you know, the funny thing is, it's so important that if you want to get a feel for an area or a region that you're in, we always go to a grocery store. They'll have local and regional food, and you really get the vibe of a place from a grocery store. And then you stop and have a conversation with people, you know, and they're happy to point out, especially in a small town, they have a lot of pride in pointing out, hey, this is where to eat. You know, this is, you know, you have to try this dish, or
you have to go see this waterfall, or you have to go see this unique art exhibit, or people love to talk about their area. And that's how we find a lot of things.
Just by talking to people.
Yeah.
Mm. So speaking of some of those things that you find by talking to local people, let's start out in, I don't know whether you want to start out in Eau Claire proper, but we might as well, since that's your hometown. What have you found around your own home environment?
Well, first of all, have you heard of Croaker Curl?
No.
Okay, it's an Altoona, the Parks and Recreation put it on. It's the Eau Claire Recreation Department, you know, during COVID, they were looking for something to get people active and outside, but to keep people active. So the director was looking on a recreation Facebook page, or excuse me, a Facebook group, and she found this Canadian game called Croaker Curl. And what it is, it's a combination of curling and also the wildly popular Canadian board game, Crokinole. So in Winnipeg, architectural firm, there's two people who work there, they put it together, came up with this game, and it's spreading across Canada like wildfire. You have a sheet of ice that's about, if I remember right, it's about 45 feet in diameter, and you have teams, four people, up to four people can play. Two teams, either one person on a team or two people on a team. And so you have a small junior size curling stone, and the court is, I guess you'd call it a court, the rink, how about that? The rink is, or it has circles around it, you know, in each circle you score certain points. And if you get the stone in the middle, it's the most points at 20 points. So the Altoona Parks and Recreation, they put it together right away, really fast, and for the first year. And they knew they were onto something. So they made the United States Croaker Curl Championship. They started that in Altoona. Now every year, it's held in Altoona, and people come from around the region and so forth. So it's a lot of fun, too. I mean, it really is a lot of fun. And the best thing about that is anybody can play. It could be families. You don't have to be any good, really. You know, it's great for kids. Our son and me played, and our goal was to not come in last. So, I mean, that shows you.
That's a viable goal there, Tom.
I mean, that's bragging rights.
That's right. We didn't lose, technically.
Yeah, and
right?
I've heard about it over and over and over again.
I love it.
It's crazy, though. It's a lot of fun.
So little bit north of Eau Claire, I've read about the Canoe Museum. There's a yo-yo museum. All of these interesting little places to visit. Christy, is there a favorite museum that you have in the area that people might not know about?
Absolutely, the Yo-Yo Museum.
Okay. Tell me about it.
I absolutely love the Yo-Yo Museum. First of all, I didn't know yo-yos were made in Wisconsin. And we had to make a trek up there. I had never been to Luck. It's a little bitty town. And it just overwhelmed me that they made the yo-yos when the yo-yos were popular. And the guy who started the factory moved his entire process to Luck. Now, it's not there anymore. I think they're made in Chicago now. But the museum is definitely worth the visit. They have yo-yos like you wouldn't believe from forever. And they have the world's biggest yo-yo. And they have a store where you can buy yo-yos, and I had to buy a few yo-yos.
Okay.
Because I haven't had one since the 80s.
And how is your yo-yo prowess?
Well, it's not very good.
No?
But okay. I do pull it out occasionally just for fun.
Okay.
You know, a yo-yo can keep you very busy at an airport when you're bored waiting.
Right.
And everybody looks at you, and nobody sees yo-yos anymore. So if you want to get attention, get a yo-yo.
I can't remember the last time I've seen one. It never occurred to me that you don't see them anymore.
I know.
And up by
Eau Claire. It's a dying art.
Up near Eau Claire. Where was it? You can go to the Yo-Yo Museum.
That's in Luck.
In Luck. Okay.
It's way in the northwest corner. And it's part of the library in Luck.
So the tiny little yo-yos to big, huge canoes. Tom, tell me about that canoe museum.
Oh, it's one of the coolest museums you'll find. You know, we've been to Spooner, and we had no idea. I mean, we've passed it, and we go, oh, canoe museum. Oh, okay, that's interesting. But when we actually went there, it was so cool. So inside, they have displays of canoes, and everybody's thinking, oh, yeah, canoes. No, but really, it's so much different, and there's so much to that because they have all kinds of canoes. They're beautifully restored. They also have a shop inside where they restore the canoes. And, you know, there's canoes in there that have sails on them, like sailboat canoes. And they have chairs in them, you know, where they sawed the legs off and attached them to the canoe so they'd be more comfortable.
Aren't there famous canoes in there, too?
There are. There's a lot of famous canoes. But this also tells you the quality of the canoe museum. The National Forest Service commissioned Shell Lake Boat Company years and years ago to make canoes for the National Forest Service. And there really aren't any around anymore, but they found one and they wanted to restore it because they're building a brand new National Forest Service museum in Montana. It's right next to the Smoke Jumpers Museum in Missoula. And so they tracked one down, and it was in such bad shape. Nobody wanted to repair it. Nobody even touch it. But the Canoe Museum and Spooner said, okay, yeah, we'll give it a shot. So they completely restored a National Forest Service museum, and it's completed now. And they're actually showing it at different places, and it's going to be on display for, I think it's an environmental display. When the National Forest Museum, Service Museum opens in, I think a year or two, they're still building it, still in the plan. So, I mean, it really is a good quality, museum. Donations are, accepted. So, you know, the whole family can go for a decent price. But there's just really so many cool things in there too. I mean, you'd be amazed at what's in this little small building. They did a really nice job.
That's a good point, too, that, you know, donations are accepted. But when we wrote this book, we wanted it to be family-friendly and affordable. And you can actually do every single thing in the book for...
You can experience everything in the book for $64.80.
Oh, wow.
And granted, you know, we didn't include donations, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you, there's one place in there, if you went there, you might want to buy a donut, or we didn't include that, but for admissions and everything else,
I mean,
that's the cost of doing the entire book.
Let's be honest. If buying a donut is an option anywhere, that's what I'm doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of that, it's not in the Eau Claire area, but we need to talk about the fish fry.
Ooh, tell me. Tell
this
me.
Is
I
one
love
of the quirkiest
it.
Things you'll find.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a place you can have a fish fry, a, you know, fried fish on a Friday morning?
No.
Okay. There's a bakery in Kenosha that's been there forever. And every Friday morning for how many years, Tom?
At least 40. The new owner has owned it for over 40 years, and she has no idea when it started. But they just keep the tradition going.
Okay.
And you can walk in there at 7:30 on a Friday morning and have a fish fry. Now, granted, you're not going to get coleslaw. You're not going to get fries or a baked potato or hash browns. But you can get fish and shrimp, and it is incredibly delicious.
Yeah, it's really good.
Wow. Yeah. And that's in Kenosha. What's
in
the
Kenosha.
Name of that place?
Oliver's Bakery.
Okay. Oliver's Bakery in Kenosha. Cool.
And you would not believe the amount of people that line up on a Friday morning to get their fish and shrimp.
It's crazy.
That sounds amazing.
They take orders. So most people order ahead of time and then they'll pick it up. There's really not a lot left for walk-ins. That's how crazy it is.
Oh, wow.
And they also have a really cool neon sign, you know, that reminds you of your road trip days, you know, from way back when.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
And not to mention their donuts are incredible.
Which
is how we got on the subject to
exactly.
begin with, right?
Don't forget the donuts.
And they're one of the few, it's an old school bakery, and they're one of the few bakeries that still make homemade buttercream.
Oh, wow. That's neat. I like it. I like it. Well, we're talking to Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis today. They're the co-authors of Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. And we will continue our conversation in just a moment right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. On Wisconsin Public Radio, and we are on a conversation about the secret places of Wisconsin, the weird places that you might not have heard of, the wonderful and obscure roadside attractions, museums. We heard about a fun game you can learn to play in the Eau Claire area, and we're talking about it all with Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis, who are the authors of Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. I almost started to say the name of your blog, which is Small Town Plus Size. Tell me about your blog and how people can find you.
Well, we're travel writers. We write for our website, smalltownplussize.com, and also online magazines and print. So smalltownplussize.com is the best way to find us, and all of our social connections are on there too. Instagram is Small Town Plus Size. Facebook is Small Town Plus Size. So we're pretty easy to find.
So we've spent some time talking with a detour for some donuts in Kenosha. We spent some time talking about the greater Eau Claire area, that part of western Wisconsin at any rate. Heading south out of Eau Claire, we're eventually coming to La Crosse, and sort of between is the birthplace of Laura Ingalls Wilder, the famed author of The Little House series, and she's famously spent some time in Wisconsin. Tell me about that location and what people experience there.
Well, you can go and see the cabin. It's not the original cabin, and that's probably about 2 miles out of town, out of Pepin, and that's kind of interesting, especially if you've read the books. Now, she was only there for a few months, but it's still definitely worth a stop, and little kids would love going there. There's a nice park. You could have a picnic. But not a lot of people know it's there other than locals.
It's a fairly small – I've been there. It's a fairly small exhibit. But the thing that I like about it – we've talked – most of our time has been spent talking about a couple of museums that you could go to. This literally is a place you can just stop by on your way. Somewhere.
Right.
If you're looking for a thing to do for, you know, 15 minutes or a half an hour, this is a good way to just experience, just make a personal connection with a book you might have read or something that you might be sharing with your kids. And it's not that structured. It'd be a great thing for people to do if maybe they have, like I said, younger folks who are not going to put up with seeing a bunch of canoes in a museum.
Right. And the nice thing is it's outside. So we like getting out in nature, and it's a great place to do it. You know, there's a nice little park there. But it just adds substance to maybe a little day trip.
Yeah.
Another great place to stop in that area would be Durand.
Okay. Tell me about Durand.
So a lot of people pass Durand every day and have no clue what they're missing. In downtown at the Corral Bar, the owners decided that they wanted to expand, and so they bought the next door building for an event room. So one of the owners, he started tearing a hole in the wall to build a doorway. And, you know, he got a wall built big enough, And he realized there's a buffalo there, a really colored buffalo behind the wall. So, you know, of course, curiosity, then he started carefully opening up more. And what he discovered was a temporary circus poster from 1885. And it was only supposed to last for 2 months. And it's 55 feet long by 9 feet tall. It's been amazingly restored now. The Baraboo, the Circus World Archivist at Baraboo, he said it's the most complete and the most colorful circus poster of that kind, which is lithium, that he's ever seen.
Hmm.
So, and it's really cool. I mean, you would not believe the colors and all of the print, and it has, you know, it has all the animals and circus scenes, and it has colorful, like, fish from the ocean, and just, it's amazing the color and how much is still there. So now it's, you know, like I said, it's been restored, and they have it protected behind glass. You can go see it anytime, as long as there's not an event in the room. I mean, you can literally just walk in and check it out. It's really cool.
That's neat. That's really cool. So now we're heading to the La Crosse area. Eventually, we're going to go. We're going to take a turn to the east and go to Sparta. But what do you know about quirky little things in and around Greater La Crosse?
Well, there's the Rock in the House, not House on the Rock, but Rock in the House. It's in Fountain City.
Are you familiar with that at all, Ezra?
I don't know the Rock in the House. I've been to the House on the Rock, okay. but I don't know the Rock in the House.
In Fountain City, there's a huge boulder that rolled into the back of a house. And the house is there. The rock is in the house. The rock is as big as a room in the house. And they just left the house.
They didn't rebuild it or anything, it's just there.
And it's open, you can go in there. There's obviously little critters in the house, but they left the furniture and the old TV from like the 70s and stuff on the shelves and the bed still made and
in the kitchen.
Yeah, and it's just open, it's not
so like the people that had been there are no longer there, they just left the house.
Yeah. But it's definitely worth a stop. It's hard to get to. It's on the main road. They have a little driveway. You can drive up there and get out and walk around the back of the house, and you can see this huge boulder sitting in the house.
And then you can go in, too. The door's open. You go in and
look around.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a step back in time.
Wow.
It's very unique. When we were there, there was three other cars there. I think one was from Iowa and one was from Minnesota, but everyone was a little curious. But just be prepared because you're probably going to see a mouse or who knows. I mean, I was a little worried.
and when you walk in too, I mean, you walk through the house, you see how, you know, parts of the house are still intact. But then in the back where the big boulder is, it looks almost like a wheel. It's just kind of huge. But where it came through was the stairs. And so you can take a few steps up the stairs. I mean, I don't know if I'd recommend it for safety-wise, but I mean, I just peeked up there as far mm-hmm. as I could. But you can actually see where the rock came through and the stairs and the attic. And it's completely open.
That's really interesting. Well, when we're done looking at the rock in the house, we keep going. And like I said, turn east. To the small city of Sparta, where bicycles and bike trails are very well known in that area. What else is going on in Sparta?
Well, there's the fiberglass graveyard.
Fiberglass graveyard.
And a lot of people talk about that, but until you see it firsthand, you can't experience it. You walk through a maze of big boys and
all the road trip icons that you can remember from like Route 66 type stuff.
Okay.
And also the Dells and places like that.
Yeah. Wisconsin is a haven. You know, if you drive through the Dells, you see all the fiberglass things. But this is where all their molds go to die. It's exciting.
So it's a huge collection of fiberglass molds. So you're not
right.
It's almost like you're seeing the beginning of their industrial process.
Right. So you're seeing the shape of what they made.
And there's all kinds of things. I mean, and it's so big it's laying down. I don't know if you're familiar with the muffler men back from the road trip days, but it looked like it was one of the muffler men, but they're made by a different company. But, you know, they have their hands just right how they hold a muffler.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe 30, 40 feet tall, maybe.
Wow. You
know, there's all kinds of bucky badgers there and bridges and water slides and... It's really fun.
Yeah, and the fun thing is when you go through, you know, it's the mold, so they pour the fiberglass inside. So you're seeing the outside of the mold, and you're looking at it, you know, like, wow, what was that, you know, and what could this be? It's just really cool stuff in there. Oh, there's also some, there's some big fish molds in there, too. Maybe a muskie, possibly?
Oh, yeah, there was a lot of those.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So some of the stuff you recognize, some of the stuff you want, you know, but it's just so much fun just to go through and look at it.
Well, it's almost like it'd be even more fun, the stuff that you don't necessarily recognize. You're like seeing it's almost like seeing a photo negative of something. You're seeing that sort of reverse molded image of it, and you try to figure out what it is. Like if I poured a moldable substance into this, what would it come out as?
Right, exactly. And we did learn, too, that one of the things you want to look for an authentic big boy statue is you want to look for his hand that holds the hamburger up. You want to make sure it has a tray because there's some cheaper knockoffs out there that don't have the tray, and they're not that great. But
okay.
These have the tray. I mean, that's something you want to look for.
Just
wow.
A little quirky piece of information that we just recently learned.
Yeah. See, there's too much research.
No, never too much research. Well, we're talking to Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis. They're the co-authors of Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. I don't know how weird or obscure cheese is in Wisconsin, but it certainly is wonderful. And I think I can say that without ruining my journalistic credibility. So there are just tons of little cheese shops all over the place, and our producer suggested that I ask you about which might be your favorite if somebody's looking for a little bit of cheese along the way.
Oh, Tom is your man for that.
Tom is the cheese guy. Okay,
he's obsessed with everything cheese.
Let's talk cheese, Tom.
So the first thing is it's you know you have to for the cheese you have to set the table just right.
Right.
So Wisconsin, you know, some people know this. A lot of people don't realize this. So Wisconsin is one of only two places in the world where someone can obtain a master cheese maker certificate. The other place is Switzerland.
Mm.
So it's also referred to as like a PhD in cheese. Okay, and it's extremely difficult. And when a cheesemaker, I mean, it takes a minimum of 13 years to obtain a certificate. So when a cheesemaker, when they go through the program once, and they want to get certified for a different type of cheese, they have to go through the entire program again. I mean, nothing changes.
Per type of cheese?
Per type of cheese.
Wow.
Yes. So that gives you a little background. Okay. So one of the places is in Stanley, okay, LeGrander's Hillside Dairy. Now, the interesting thing is they make all the cheese curds for Culver's, okay? And if you were to put as many cheese curds as they make a year, if you were to just separate those into a regular size order of cheese curds, that would be 21 million bags of Culver's cheese curds that they make a year. And the interesting thing is also with that is that the one of the grandsons has just obtained, I believe it was in the spring, but he is the second person to get a master certificate for cheese curds. And it's a new, they just added the cheese curd program to the master cheesemakers. So he's only the second person in the history of this gotten that. So that's important. But then you go to one of our favorites. We absolutely love Nasonville Dairy.
But we love it. We love their cheese. But we think they have probably one of the best ice cream cones there is.
Which is part of Naceville. That's Weber's. They own also Weber's. They have it several different things. But at Naceville Dairy, though, you know, you go to, it's like an old school small town cheese shop where the plant makes their cheese and then they put it out for locals and locals go in and they cut what you want, you know, how they used to do it. They cut what you want and wrap it in paper, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this has, it's a very narrow store. It's really small. They have a lot of cheese in there. And it's, this is all wrapped, though. It's already pre-cut and wrapped. But we love getting their fresh cheese curds. You know, you can get them when they're still warm.
Wow.
You know.
Oh,
you know,
my
about,
goodness.
Yeah, they do it that morning. It's about 9 o'clock. Their cheese curds are incredible. But Naceville has five now, master cheesemakers on staff. And between them, they are certified as master cheesemakers in 18 different types of cheese, which is really cool. And then they also, there's three brothers that own that. And one of them was married to the person that owns Weber's farm shop in Marshfield. And of course, they sell their cheese there. And the cool thing about that is, you know, when the World Championship cheese competition rolls around every year,
mm-hmm.
every 2 years, and then every 2 years there's an international cheese competition, you know, those rotate each year, they will take the cheeses and they'll sell it, you know, from the competition, they'll sell it by the pound for like dirt cheap. I mean, I think it was like $2 a pound.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little secret that not many people know about, which is really cool.
That's astounding.
Yeah. But the thing with Weber's, though, too, is we all like a good ice cream cone.
So of course.
They have a soft serve ice cream that is incredible. And it's supplied by the local dairy. And you would be amazed. I mean, it's every time we go there, you know, winter, summer, it doesn't matter. There's a huge lineup at the drive-through window. People are stopping in just to get an ice cream cone, or they're walking out of the store with an ice cream cone. Every single person has an ice cream cone. And if they don't, there's something up because it's just unheard of.
We're talking to Tom Manis today and Christy Flick Manis, and they are the co-authors of Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure. They also are the purveyors of the blog Small Town Plus Size, and you can check that out online. And we're taking sort of a bit of a road trip through Wisconsin today to all of the quirky places that, well, as many as we can fit in our conversation anyway, of the quirky places that Tom and Christy have visited over the years. Next up, we are going to head to central Wisconsin and north central Wisconsin, maybe even into the North Woods if we have enough time. So that's coming up right here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our La Crosse studios on the campus of UW-La Crosse, welcoming listeners from all over the state today. We're doing sort of a partnership show between newsmakers out of La Crosse, which I host regularly, and Route 51, which originates out of our Wausau studios that's hosted by Shireen Seward, who is on assignment this week. We also welcome listeners from Eau Claire, who regularly are here with us on Route 51 as well. If you'd like to get in touch with either one of our shows, I'll give you both of those email addresses. If you have ideas, comments, anything you'd like to pass along to the crew. For folks in the La Crosse area, you can reach out to newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. As for listeners in the Wausau area and people who catch Route 51 out of Eau Claire as well, you can go, you can email route51@wpr.org. That's route51@wpr.org. www.thebridgeofhope.org. Now, Tom and Christy, as I said, we're going to turn our road trip sort of towards central Wisconsin, Marshfield, Stevens Point, Wausau. We're heading east, and there are interesting stops. Let's see about Neillsville. What's going on in Neillsville with this talking cow?
It's a huge cow, fiberglass, which possibly was made at Sparta at that factory. And you can put a quarter in it, and it talks to you. And it says all different random things. It's also on the grounds of the pavilion that was in the World's Fair.
The New York World's Fair.
I can't remember the year, though.
we're both looking at each other. We're drawing blanks.
Yeah.
But it's a futuristic building from, I want to say, maybe 65, but I might be totally wrong with that.
I think it was about that time. But the cow stands outside, and like I said, you could put a quarter in it, it talks to you.
And they changed the sayings up throughout the year, too.
Now, we've been having a lot of fun talking about all kinds of quirky little oddities and things like that. There are really meaningful things that you've come across as well. There's a museum in, called the War Room Museum and World History, which is in Marshfield. Tell me about visiting that place.
Well, they have some really unique things in there that you would really be surprised with. But, you know, a few months ago, I believe it was in June, they did have a fire in the back of the building, so it's closed right now.
Mm.
They are restoring a lot of the stuff, and
okay,
where it's going to open is kind of up in the air right now. But they have like a huge Finnish type of machine gun that, I mean, that's really unique. But they have documents, they have displays, they have flags from most, I would say most of it's probably World War II. And they have all kinds of just little things in there that, you know, are just really cool. And the owners and the volunteers are really knowledgeable. I mean, they can tell you about everything you want to know about it. And they have some rare stuff in there too, from Germany, World War II, and from Japan, and different places. It's just packed. You couldn't believe how much stuff was just packed in there in that little space. And they also had a basement too that was full of different things.
Well, here's hoping they get everything restored and find a good place to put those items on display again. That'd be very good. I want to in honor of the season, which by the time this interview airs will be just a couple days past Halloween, past the Day of the Dead, and those things that honor those which have come before us. In Stevens Point, we're getting a little bit spooky with some haunted bridges. Tell me about the haunted bridges.
There's a bridge north of Stevens Point. It's called the Bloody Bride Bridge. Now, there's no research to back this up.
Well, there's never any research to back up any of the good stories.
No.
We dug.
Yeah,
and we
went there, and we tried to find anything. But as the story goes, there was a bride that died on her wedding day on this bridge and was in her wedding dress. And there was a police officer that was driving the bridge, and this bride ran across the bridge in front of him, and he hit her, and he got out to see what had happened, and she disappeared. And he looked everywhere, couldn't find her, got back in the car, looked in his rearview mirror, and she was in the back seat.
Mm.
And looked again, and she was gone. And many people over the years have claimed that the same thing has happened to them. And there's quite a following that goes there at night to try to see the Bloody Bride. Now, granted, we went there in the middle of the day. And I don't think I want to go at night.
It's less scary, in the middle of the day?
Yes.
Especially when the sun's shining, really bright.
That's yeah. That sounds it's at the very least an interesting tale.
It is an interesting tale, but there's something else very unique in Stevens Point.
Okay, tell me about it.
If you're driving on US 51 and go past the fire station, there's a fountain with a little boy statue pouring water into the fountain. And this has been there forever. The little boy statue actually arrived in Stevens Point in about 1895.
Oh, wow.
And it was placed in the center of town as a drinking fountain. And later on, it started to get in disrepair, and it ended up at the fire station. Now, they had to take the original down to get it restored, and they didn't put it back up. They made a fiberglass mold at the same place again.
Okay.
In Sparta, and that's out there. It's unique to see, but the original is in the basement of the fire station, and the firemen are caretakers of the original statue.
Oh, wow.
And the statue can only be seen from Memorial Day to Labor Day.
Okay.
Because the college students at UW-Stevens Point like to steal the statue.
So
I'm sure not all the college students.
Yeah, yeah. So that's a problem. So they decided years ago that they were just going to take it down when school's in session.
And he's actually on the cover too. He's holding the boot up, and there's water coming out.
Oh, is that the one with the
little boot? It's called the boy with the leaky boot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's on the cover of your book.
Yes.
It is. Yes.
Okay. So if you want to see the leaky boot, I'm sure you can Google it and find it. But even better to check out Tom and Christie's book, Secret Wisconsin. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
There's also back if you want to talk a little bit about Halloween stuff. Okay. It's kind of spooky too. It's in Elk Mound, less than 20 miles from west of Eau Claire, mm-hmm. right off the interstate. There's a tower, a rock tower that was built to honor deceased postal employees, and specifically rural mail carriers. And you know, this was when they delivered mail by horse and so forth, you know, back in those days. But so they built this rock tower. It's a couple stories tall, and it has an observation deck on top. And you can actually see it from the interstate. Just look for the flag on the north side of the interstate, and you can see the tower there. But they have around the flag, they did things like they took from every single postal route in the county, they took dirt and then they planted it. There were 12 of them, 12 different routes, and they planted around the flagpole. But the thing is, at nighttime, it gets kind of spooky because there are reports of people hearing children screaming through the night, through the woods. And different moans and groans. And there was a family there that was coming down the steps from the observation tower. And one of the members, somebody pushed them from behind, but, you know, and they almost fell down the stairs, but there was nobody there. But they, you know, the family did witness that. So there's a lot of spooky tales about that. So if you want to check it out, go to the Elk Mound Tower at nighttime, you know, and see if you see strange lights and
okay.
sounds. And yeah, that's not for us.
That's not us.
Yeah, no. But if you want to, you know, take a shot at it, you know, see what happens.
Well, let me just a little bit of a time check here. We've got a few minutes left, and I want to make sure that we get up into the North Woods. I know I've been to Rhinelander. I know how beautiful it is up in that part of the country, and a lot of people go there just to relax and to fish and do all those wonderful things. I know the big green hodag is a little bit weird, but that's part of the culture up there. What else are we going to find up in Rhinelander?
It's not in the book, but at the Pioneer Park, you know, a lot of people know about Pioneer Park.
Mm-hmm.
But go in the main train station building and go downstairs to the to the basement, and they have an enormous display of model trains or a model train set. There's several trains, several tracks on there, several communities, lumber mills, all about the history. It's absolutely huge. It's one of the best model train sets we've ever seen.
Oh, and there's also the CCC barracks there.
Right,
on civilian, display, which is really interesting.
Civilian Conservation Corps,
mm-hmm.
Which was really neat because you just don't see that stuff. You see the statues and you hear and see what they did and what they built. But to actually see how they lived was really cool.
There was also a POW camp in Rhinelander where they brought in German POWs and they worked in agriculture in the Rhinelander area.
Hmm.
A lot of potato fields.
Okay. Interesting. I want to ask both of you before we go. I'm going to put you on the spot a little bit. Of all the places that you've been, I want to ask each of you for a best kept secret, some place that you really want to make sure that people take away from our conversation today. So, in just a short amount of time, Tom, what would be your best kept secret?
I think one of the coolest things out there is in Janesville. There's a restaurant called the Cozy Inn. It's the second oldest Chinese restaurant in one location, and the owner now, his mom bought the restaurant a long time ago. She was a cook in exclusive Chinese restaurants in Milwaukee, and she wanted to open her own restaurant, so she bought that. And the owner is known for and the restaurant is known for the egg rolls. Egg rolls are crazy. They're $2.35 each. But people return to Janesville or know about them when they travel to Janesville. They'll bring a cooler, and they'll call several. It takes two days to make them. You know, so 2 days to make them, so they have to call ahead of time. And they'll take, you know, 30, 40, 100 back home with them on the plane. So that's why we call it traveling egg rolls. But on a side note, the owner now, he had an older dad. And what a lot of people didn't realize that when the Titanic sunk, his dad was one of the six Chinese survivors that was rescued.
Mm.
And they found him floating on a door. And James Cameron, who, you know, made the Titanic movie.
Yeah, yeah.
He actually made a documentary about the six Chinese survivors. It's called The Six. And so that was interesting. And then my mind went blank. There's something really important to add to that, but.
Oh, well, then it's my turn.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, my favorite thing is a swing park. In Milwaukee, downtown Milwaukee, they have taken a little area under the freeway and hung swings from the freeway above.
Okay.
All kinds of swings. It has a sand bottom, and there's swings for everyone, and they've put some murals around it, but it's such a peaceful place. And here you are under the freeway in the middle of downtown.
Wow.
And you can swing. And it's a really nice
place.
That's
really neat.
And there's also Gravity Hill.
Oh, see, we could just now. Yeah. You got us going now,
Ezra. We could go on and on forever. Let me just say thank you very much for being here. And I want to make sure with our remaining moments that you let people know where they can find your work and especially where they can get a copy of the book that we've been talking about, which is Secret Wisconsin, A Guide to the Weird, Wonderful, and Obscure.
The book is available everywhere right now. Big box stores, Amazon, small bookstores.
Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, anywhere.
Online.
Online.
In Eau Claire, Volume 1, and also Books A Million.
And what about your website where people can read your blog?
SmallTownPlusSize.com. So it's SmallTownPlusSize.com.
And the purveyors of that website are Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis.
It's us.
Thank you very much for being here with us today on Wisconsin Public Radio. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Ezra.
Thank you.
This is Wisconsin Public Radio. We've been talking to Tom Manis and Christy Flick Manis, and they joined us from our studios in Eau Claire. Thank you very much. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios in La Crosse, and also welcoming listeners from Wausau and the greater central Wisconsin area. So thank you, everybody who's listened today. Thanks a lot to Joy Ratch-Kramer for producing our show. Let's see, Elizabeth Domes Harder giving us some assistance in the studio in Eau Claire, as well as our engineering department helping us make the connection. So thanks to everybody, a team effort today from Wisconsin Public Radio. Join us next Friday at the usual time for your usual show, either Route 51 or Newsmakers, right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.